Amen. If you're able to do so, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. What I'd like to do this morning is pick up where we left off last night with the Advent readings, and that was with the Jones family who read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, and then lit the center candle, the Christ candle. We heard the message. We heard about Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the city that was the birthplace of the shepherd who became a monarch, a King David, the city of David. Bethlehem means in Hebrew, the house of bread. So it was a village just south of Jerusalem that was an agricultural center at the time. In Luke 2, as we saw last night, the city is full of people. This small village bursting with people who had been forced to travel there. Not like you're going to be traveling maybe to go see family and receive gifts. No, they were there for a different reason. Jerusalem's 5 miles to the north, but some had to travel much further than that, like those who came from Nazareth, like Mary and Joseph, even Mary, great with child. That was about a 90-mile journey, at least 4 or 5 days of traveling to get to Bethlehem. So that's where the story left off last night, and we'll pick up now in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. If you turn the page in your bulletin, you'll find an outline of sorts. As is often the case, I'm going to spend most of my time on the first point. It seems to be the way it works for me for some reason. This morning, as we return to Bethlehem and there the scene that we read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the passage picks up then with shepherds. What we're going to see is that the shepherds received the good news declared by the angel of the Lord. So we'll consider that at length. But then we'll see briefly that the shepherds' faith then was demonstrated in their approach to the sign that was given. And then the shepherds shared the wonder of the message that they received. And I want us to notice that the gospel, the good news received, believed, acted on, and shared, culminates in worship. This whole narrative is moving toward worship. So Bethlehem, as we consider again this village just south of Jerusalem, Bethlehem at this point was bustling with people who had come back for a census. This was a mandated census, a government mandate decreed by Caesar Augustus himself, and it was being carried out in Judea by the hated and despised King Herod. The purpose for the census was taxation, not going back home to receive gifts, but actually to be counted so that you could then be taxed. So I would think that there was no small amount of frustration and tension in the region. Houses, accommodations were full of people. Joseph and Mary, as we know, couldn't even find a room to stay in. And I imagine that Bethlehem, like other villages and cities and towns, was filled with people who were on edge. It wasn't a peaceful place to be. But there were some who were enjoying peace and serenity away from the angry travelers, away from the noisy crowds in Bethlehem. Shepherds, they're out in the fields. They're away from town. Like many of you maybe who've chosen to build a home or live in houses outside of the city so you can have some peace and quiet and be away from McFarland Boulevard a little bit. These men, though, weren't relaxing in houses away from town, but they were working. They worked and slept under the stars in the fields. There was no sound of traffic there. There weren't trains, no sirens going by. There weren't the glow of street lights or headlights or even Christmas lights, just starlight. And in our passage this morning, we find them there at night. At night, when the sheep were probably even quiet, settled down for a long winter's nap as well. But the shepherds, they weren't asleep. They were keeping their watch. Literally, the Greek says they were watching their watch or guarding their guard. They were on guard. Now, the task of shepherding, at least with flocks that belong to families, as you can see in the life of King David himself, the role of the shepherd fell to the youngest son. So it's likely that these were young men out in the fields, watching their watch, on guard, and in the dark. Do you remember the first time that you were left at home overnight by yourself? Do you remember that feeling of being in a house all by yourself through the night? Maybe there's some young people here tonight who've experienced it not so long ago when mom and dad were away for the night and you're lying there in bed all by yourself about to doze off and you hear a sound and you think, was that the ice maker or was that someone at the back door? And suddenly you go from almost drifting into sleep to being on high alert and then you hear all kinds of sounds that you had not noticed before, or suddenly you see shadows move that you hadn't noticed before. The shepherds had a job that required them to be on high alert. They were always watching, always listening. Their eyes were trained to see if they noticed any shadows of predators moving in the darkness, if they heard any footfalls in the field that were out of place. So there was peace and quiet, but they were doing anything but resting. They were watchful, they were ready, they were on guard, ready for any threat and ready to face that threat. Well, the text tells us that then, it was in that moment, maybe in front of them or maybe up over them, an angel of the Lord appeared, seemingly out of nowhere. There was no slow approach. There were no sounds of footsteps coming. Instead, this messenger of the Lord just shows up. And he wasn't shrouded in darkness. The angel wasn't like would-be predators who moved in the shadows. When this heavenly being suddenly appeared, glory shone around him. The darkness and the quiet, the serenity of the night was ruptured with heavenly brightness and splendor. Now, the shepherds were watchmen. They were ready on a moment's notice to rush into harm's way to defend the flock against wild animals or lamb snatchers. And they would use their shepherd's rod or maybe a sling like David to fend off any enemies. But here, these shepherds were overcome with something other than courage. This visitor, this angel of the Lord, was totally unexpected, and the shepherds responded with fear. The text reads, they feared with great fear, or as the King James reads, they were sore afraid. And they weren't afraid for the sheep, though. They were afraid for themselves. The Christmas story, whether you are reading about Zechariah or Mary or the shepherds, begins with fear. When God's heavenly representatives show up to make announcements, people tremble over and over and over. Why? Why were they afraid? Why would a Christmas story begin with fear? Well, the angel of the Lord who shows up there to the shepherds is less cheerful cherub and more worshiping warrior. Not only that, not only the appearance of this angel, there's just a knowledge and a recognition that this is one who is set apart to God, shrouded in glory and holiness. Do you remember Isaiah in chapter 6 when he has the vision of the throne room of God and the seraphim? Remember the seraphim with their six wings flying and they're declaring the holiness and the glory of God, that God is thrice holy? And what does Isaiah do when he sees such holiness on display? He says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." So the fear experienced isn't only about physical intimidation at the sight of a warrior, but the realization of sinfulness in the presence of holiness. With the appearing of divine messengers leading up to and in conjunction with the birth of Jesus, there's this clear sense that heaven is coming into contact with earth, that the eternal is coming into contact, moving into, fracturing its way into the temporal, that holiness is coming into contact with wickedness. Fear is therefore understandable. Actually, it's appropriate. It's appropriate for people like the shepherds and for us, born with a sinful nature that we then act and speak according to. It's appropriate for us to be feared. Such sin, as our confession tells us, has bound us to the wrath of God. We are, in our sinfulness, bound to the wrath of God. So when God shows up, there is fear. That's appropriate. But notice what the angel does. The angel speaks to fear. That's the very first words. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What could an angel possibly say that would dispel the fear of earthbound sinners? Earthbound sinners who are now being confronted with the glory of heaven. This is what he says. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The way the angel confronts human fear, this messenger from heaven confronts human fear by sharing good news. He evangelizes. The Greek word that we translate as good news is the term euangelion. Euangelion is the word where we derive our English word evangelism or evangelist or evangelical. And it means good news, or sometimes translated as gospel. Now in this passage, it's the verbal form of that word. And so the verb form of the word means to bring good news. So they are evangelizing the shepherds. They're sharing the gospel with the shepherds. That's what the angel did. And that good news involves, he says, great joy. Great joy for all people, not fear. In place of your fear, I have a message, good news, that results in joy. And this joy is not just for shepherds. It's not just for wise men. It wasn't just for Jesus's parents or priests or even Jews, but for all people of all tribes and all nations, of all strata in life. I wonder what breaking news today could come across your social media feed, or show up on the network news channel, or maybe put up on a billboard that would bring good news that results in joy for all people, regardless of nationality or ethnicity or social status. What news could possibly come over the wire today, maybe we don't use that term anymore, over the feed today, that would be good news for all people? Maybe the discovery of a new source of energy. Well, that would actually probably only lead to conflict over who would control that source of energy. Or maybe life on another planet. Actually, that would probably result in a lot of fear and about 100 movies on alien invasion, 100 more movies on alien invasions. Maybe the end of the flu or COVID. That sounds like good news, unless, of course, you work in pharmaceutical sales and production. But as people born dead in sin, we actually, any of those things happened, we would still have the bigger issue, the bigger problem of our lack of spiritual life and our conflict with God. That's an eternal issue that we have. So what news could possibly be for all people leading to joy? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Today in the city of David, that is in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born. The angel announced the birth of someone, of a person who brings together three titles. Notice those three titles. First, Savior. That means deliverer. Someone who will deliver you, who is Christ. That is the anointed one, the Messiah. So a Savior, a deliverer who is the Messiah, but he is also the Lord. The angel of the Lord, angel of the Lord, is announcing the birth of the Lord. So Savior, Christ, Lord, all describe this baby, this child. And this is good news intended to deal with the shepherd's fear and our fears. Remember, they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Not only because of physical intimidation, they were afraid of the Lord's messenger and the glory that shone around them, because in the presence of God's holiness and glory, we sinners have nothing to offer him that would merit his favor. We have no defense to guard us against his wrath either. We're bound to that wrath. So the birth of the Savior, though, it frees us from the fear of the holiness and the glory of God. Instead of fearing his holiness, we rejoice in his holiness. Instead of trembling at his glory, we delight in his glory. And this child is the link, is the transition point from fear to joy, from trembling to worship. The good news is that God has provided a Savior for us, a defender for us, the Messiah who is the Lord himself for us. God provided what we couldn't. This is the gospel announced by the angel. The angel was an unexpected evangelist. Instead of fear, I bring you joy. So, quick application maybe, just a question. What do you think you need right now? What do you need right now? Like, if you filled in this blank, if God would give me blank, I would not be so afraid, or so worried, or so angry, or so anxious or discouraged. How would you fill in that blank? I think if we're honest, there are a lot of things that we put in that blank day in and day out. If God would only do this, then I would have joy. Then I would have hope. Then I would not be so anxious and worried. But the good news, the good news that changes the command from the angels, do not be afraid, it changes it from a cause for you to like roll your eyes like, yeah, right, changes it from that into an invitation, actually. An invitation you don't have to fear. An invitation that compels us to then gladly submit our will and our emotions even to God. It's the declaration that God has provided us a Savior who is the anointed Savior, the Messiah, and he is our Lord. He is born unto you. He is born unto you. For you. The message could have ended there, though. The message that the angel gave the shepherds. This is good news. This is gospel truth. But in his kindness, through his messenger, God gave these shepherds a sign of this work. He gave them a sign of God's promise, like he gave a sign for Noah with a rainbow, or for Abraham with circumcision. He provides a sign for them as well. It was an unlikely sign, unexpected, unanticipated. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And with this announcement of the gospel and the sign that would accompany it, here's the gospel and here's the sign for it, there is then another suddenly. Out of nowhere, just suddenly, the angel was no longer alone. But there was with the angel a host of heavenly beings. the sky or the landscape or maybe the universe, as far as their eyes could see, was filled with an army, a heavenly host, a battalion of angels. And those angels were not there with swords drawn to slay the enemies of God or to bring God's wrath to bear. No, those angels were there to worship. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. Glory to God. Glory to God and peace on earth. Glory in the heavens and in the universe and peace here on this fallen rock. Scripture only records one previous instance of an angelic hymn falling on human ears. And that was in Isaiah 6 again, in Isaiah's vision of the throne room of God. There, the prophet, he saw and felt the glory of God, and he heard the doorposts rattling with the declaration of the seraphim who said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That song in Isaiah's vision echoed with prophetic anticipation. But now, here, to lowly shepherds, the song is of gospel fulfillment. It is fulfilled. The good news has come. So this is the good news. This is the gospel message declared by an angel of the Lord. The truth that gives us peace with God is that the child has been born. Jesus is their peace and our peace. The joy and peace is for people upon whom God's favor rests. That is, it is for those who have been given faith to believe and to receive that message. And while we're going to spend some more time looking now at the shepherd's response, how they responded to this message, I want you to know what follows, and their response is not itself the hope of the shepherd's salvation, but it does show that they received and believed the message they heard. Their hope isn't in their response, but their response shows their faith in what was declared. The angel's message was effectual. It was received and it was believed. So now point number two. The shepherd's faith actually was demonstrated. That the fact they believed this message is demonstrated in their approach to the sign given. The shepherds began talking to each other. The angels departed back into heaven, back into the spiritual realm. We think of that as going up, but actually they went up not in terms of elevation, but in terms of they went to a greater realm, a spiritual realm, heavenly realm. And then suddenly the shepherds are like, they're gone, and they start talking, and they said, "Let us go and see this thing that has happened." That's a good translation that you have there in the ESV, but it could also read, and I actually humbly would say, I think a little more accurately, "Let us go and see this word," or "this saying." Let us go see this saying. Let us go see the message. Maybe even a little more fully, but kind of clumsy. Let us see the having come into existence message, is what the Greek says. Let us see the having come into existence message. It's there, it's waiting for us, and the Lord has made it known. So the message in the shepherd's minds, it isn't just an idea kind of floating out there or some potential truth. It has substance. It has arrived. It's been fulfilled. Notice they don't say to each other, "Do you think it might take place? Maybe, did it really happen?" Or even, "You know what, let's go and just verify to make sure." There's none of that. They simply believed the good news. And because it is good news, they went. This is great news. Nothing's going to keep us from going and seeing it now and experiencing that. So the shepherds, they didn't just believe in the truthfulness of the message, but they also rejoiced in the content of that message. Because it has substance and it is real, they rejoiced and went. And they went with haste. They went with haste to see the sign they were given. True belief expresses itself in zeal and action. It's living faith. It responds. And they approached the sign. They went to Bethlehem and looked for this sign with zeal because they believed what the sign signified and represented. God has declared it. The good news that we come to see is the baby. The baby is the good news, and he's come because God has said so. Third, the shepherds, then, as they come to Bethlehem and found the baby, they also shared the wonder of the message that they received. Seeing the sign, the promised sign, they made known the word or message or saying, just like back in verse 15, when they said, our translation had this thing, the word or message, the same term is used here. So they made known the message. They made known the saying spoken to them concerning this child. So now we have the shepherds, they were passing on the message. The angel had shared the gospel with them. They went and saw it for themselves. They knew it was so they went. And now as they arrive, they then pass that message on. So the shepherds were saying, in effect, fear not, for behold, we bring you good news. We now bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto us all, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And here he is. He's right here. This is the one that the angels sang about. Here he is. After the birth of Jesus, the shepherds were the very first people to share the gospel and the good news. Shepherds, young men who smelled like sheep, who slept on the ground under the stars. These were the men God chose to hear the gospel and believe the gospel and declare that same gospel to others. And the people, all the people who were gathered there, we don't know who all was there in that makeshift delivery room or wherever that may have been exactly, but what we're told is they wondered at what the shepherds told them. Notice, they didn't wonder about who was telling them. Why in the world are you shepherds telling us this? They didn't wonder at that. They wondered at the message itself. And the word wondered there in our English, it doesn't mean that they were curious, that they were curious about it or that they didn't understand it or they began coming up with statements for or against what they heard. They didn't begin debating, could this be or not be? That's not what the word means. The word means that they marveled. The people marveled at what they heard. They were astonished by this message of these unexpected evangelists, these shepherds who came in. We could even call them stinking evangelists, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to put that on them. But they show up, and they didn't wonder at that, though. They wondered at the word, at the message that they declared. God chooses the weak and the foolish things of the world, like me, like us, like shepherds. He chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. God uses frail people, earthenware vessels, to carry the message of his glory and his grace. And the people wondered at that message. They marveled at it. So there's another gospel application for us that I hope will give you confidence and hope. Even as you feel your own frailty in many ways, God delights to use weak and unlikely means to make his glory known. Humble vessels to make the good news known to all the world. In that moment, we're told, though, that Mary treasured up the message. She treasured that message up in her heart. Where the story began with shepherds guarding sheep, now we have Mary guarding a message in her heart. And she pondered it. She turned it over and over in her mind, thinking about it, considering this gospel message. How is it that this child will bring hope to all the world? Maybe she continued to ponder it right up until the time she saw her son suffering, not for his sins, but for the sins of other people. The baby that she swaddled would be the same man who would experience the words of Psalm 22, where we read these words fulfilled in Christ. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They've pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This baby, who is surrounded by shepherds and maybe animals, wise men would come and see him, others who marveled at a message, and Mary pondered it in her heart, he would be the same one who would not be swaddled in these infants' clothing, but whose garments would be divided. This is the very one who would not be resting in a manger, but hanging on a cross. That's the good news too, that he came for us, that he came to face what we couldn't face. He came as our substitute. This is the good news. This is more even than Mary understood then. This is more than the shepherds ever could have dreamed. But what they did know is that a Savior has come. And we know that Savior has come. And we know even in fuller measure the nature of that salvation that is for us today. So I want us to close with seeing that the gospel received and believed and acted on and then shared culminates in worship. These shepherd evangelists, after they went and saw the sign and they made known, they shared this gospel message with others. Notice how they left. Notice how they went back to the fields. They returned to their fields, but they returned as changed men. Their mouths now were filled with doxologies. They were glorifying God. The Greek word is doxa. They were giving doxologies to God. They were praising God as they went back to their fields. God, whose glory they had once trembled in front of, now they're rejoicing in it. They were praising him. Why? Because of all they had heard and seen, even as it had been told them. It's because of what they heard. They believed it, and their eyes saw it. If you have a Bible, I'm going to read a few verses from 1 Peter in closing. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read verse 8 through 12. As the apostle writes to the church, writes to believers, he says this, for those who have heard the message of the gospel, and this is true for us today. So as you come here today, you hear the message of the gospel week after week after week, the message of hope. Is it leading you to faith? Are you responding? Are you receiving that? And does it fill you with zeal and action to then share that message? And does it lead you to worship? Listen how Peter combines those same elements in this passage in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. What you know, the angels who filled the universe, who filled the sky, they long to know that. The good news of the child who was born and laid in a manger, they had no idea that that child would grow to be a man who lived a sinless life, who would give that life on your behalf. They long to know that, and it has been told to you. Receive that message by faith. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. It will speak to your fears, whatever they may be. It will speak to your anxieties, wherever they may be. It will speak to your sorrows. Jesus knows those feelings. He knows those emotions. But he speaks to them today. Hear them. Hear the gospel. And don't let anything keep you from worshiping God. Don't let anything keep you away from the house of God where the gospel of God is declared. Don't miss an opportunity to share that message with somebody else in despair. It's good news. Don't miss any opportunity you have to give God glory and praise for that gospel message. This is the goal. This is the telos of gospel proclamation and faith and repentance, salvation and worship. The ultimate goal of evangelism is the worship of God and the celebration of God's glory. The angel shared the good news and then worshiped. The shepherds shared the gospel, the good news, and then they worshiped. So the good news is declared to you today. So believe and worship. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in our minds and hearts. Use this familiar passage even that we read year after year and open our eyes to see the wonder of it again. May we marvel at the message of the angel and of the shepherds that to us this day has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Lord, imprint that on our minds and hearts and souls in such a way that it will even inform and speak to the fear that we have in our life, the anxieties, the worries, the anger, the jealousy, whatever it is. I pray that your word would work throughout our lives, give us zeal, move us to an active faith that is eager to share that marvelous news with others and to worship you gladly. Lord, do that in your church, I pray. And may it all be to your glory. In Christ's name, amen.